But I think recognizing that if you are in a waiting place, there's some kind of lie the enemy is going to try to get you to believe.
Yes.
And it is not true that waiting places feel like barren places. Like we talked in a recent episode, I think they're just dormant places.
Mm-hmm. Welcome to More Than Small Talk. We're Susie Eller,
Jennifer Watson,
and Holly Girth. Writers and real life friends. We're inviting you to go deeper, become freer, and feel more connected.
So imagine you have a cup of coffee, a mug of tea, or a green smoothie in your hand,
and we're all hanging out in your favorite place together.
Hey there, fourth chair friends. We are glad to be with you. And we have been kind of going through a series to kick off the new year. So we've talked about making changes, what our God-sized dreams are. Then last episode, we talked about excuses. So if you haven't heard that, you can listen and it will help you move forward. But then we said, you know, sometimes we're not making excuses. We are actually ready to move forward. And it feels like God is saying, not right now. So we want to have a conversation about what we do in the waiting times of life.
Yeah. You know, this confession question for some of you is going to feel a little bit heavy. Hopefully by the time that we're through, it will not. It will feel light and light filled. Mm-hmm. What's a time when you wanted to move forward, but God said, not right now?
I had an interesting season of life probably about 3 or 4 years ago where I wanted to write a book, but I also felt like I needed to take a full-time job for my family. So I signed with a literary agent and then I had a job interview that same day and it ended up taking a full-time position. And for a year, I was in survival mode. I had no words. I had no inspiration. I was just punching a clock every single day for a year. And I felt like, how is that possible for two doors to open, but this one is just going to take a really long time. So for a year, I was super unhappy. Yeah. I wasn't able to pursue anything but surviving and working this job and then coming home and, you know, doing what I needed to do for my family. So it was really hard that God said, not right now. Like, it's coming. You're working your way towards it, but it's going to be slower than you think.
Does it feel like punishment?
You know what? It did. It did. I woke up in a bad mood for an entire year and I really wrestled. I have told my family through part of that season that I cried probably every single day. Mm. You know, it just, my dream did not look like how I wanted it to, but there were so many good things happening and God really showed me a lot in that season. But I think that when we are living our not right now, it is kind of depressing. It was a real bummer for me, but I grew so much in that year.
Yeah, I'm there right now. My body is different. Surgery has changed who and what I thought I was. I'm in a waiting season. I'm in a recovery season. And I don't like it. Yeah. I don't like it.
And if you're not sure what Susie's sharing about, she has cancer. And so we did an episode where she shares about that called Susie Has Cancer. So if you want to know the context, you can listen to that episode.
Such a creative title. We
you know.
Yeah. But, you know, anyone out there who is dealing with a chronic illness or a sudden illness or going through any kind of massive recovery, part of that is being still. And I'll just be honest with you, I'm not made to be still. But at the same time, I'm a dreamer. I'm a dreamer, and God has poured all of these things in my heart. And so I'm there right now. Just so you know, I'm there right now, and I don't like it. I'm on a road I don't want to be on, and I'm not saying that to be negative. I'm just being really, really honest with you. But at the same time, I am trusting that God is in the midst of this, that He is speaking to me, that He is teaching me something, and that it is not wasted.
Yeah.
That's really and cool. I think it's okay not to like it.
Yeah, I do too.
100%.
I do too.
Maybe I almost said that, and I'm glad you did. Because I feel like sometimes we think we have to get our rah-rah in and say, you know, well, you know, but some seasons we just don't like.
Right. Yeah.
And
we don't have to. Yeah, we don't have to be cheerleaders where we're putting on the good face and saying, yeah, everything's okay. The deal is that deep inside, I'm okay.
Yeah.
But my circumstances and where I'm at doesn't look like the dream that I thought I was going to be fulfilling at this season.
Yeah. And for me, I've shared about this some before, but I went through about a decade of infertility before God brought a 20-year-old daughter totally unexpectedly to us. But I think what I wanted to add to what I've shared before is just watching out for those lies that come in those places, the not right now places, the lies like, well, you must have done something wrong.
Yeah.
Or you're not, you know, at a level where you could handle this, so you can't move forward or whatever it is. Mm-hmm. And for me, it was the enemy kept telling me, you're barren. You're barren. You cannot bring life into this world. And one day God took me to Genesis, where Eve is called the mother of all living.
Yeah.
And I felt like he showed me all women are mothers because all women bring life into the world.
Yeah.
And I figured out I could be a book mama, and eventually our story shifted. But I think recognizing that if you are in a waiting place, there's some kind of lie the enemy is going to try to get you to believe.
Yes.
And it is not true that waiting places feel like barren places. Like we talked in a recent episode, I think they're just dormant places. Mm-hmm. And that's very different. Like I'm looking out the window right now at this tree that looks like nothing's going on. Bare branches, you know, but I recently researched this article on what trees do when they're dormant. And under that surface, there's all kinds of things going on.
Yeah.
And it said you can force a tree to avoid dormancy by putting it inside and turning on lights, all these artificial things. But it said you will significantly decrease the lifespan of that tree and its ability to produce fruit. So I think knowing that personally, when I went through that season, just that it's okay to have those seasons, that dormancy is not the same as nothing happening at all.
Right.
Well, I have a good friend, we all do, named Christy Rodriguez, and she is launching or has launched a new podcast called The Brave Place. And I was in the parking lot of Walmart, and I was kind of wrestling with this. It was before surgery and all of the, I was picking up all of the stuff that I needed to pick up for recovery because I was going to be still for a matter of weeks. And Christy sent me a Voxer message, and it was in a rap form. It's hard to even explain how awesome this was, but she rapped to me because that's who she is.
Yeah.
And she was rapping about, you know, all of these things. And I got so tickled that I just almost laid back in my seat and laughed until I cried. But I told her, I said, that's exactly what I needed. First of all, was that laughter that came from that. And second, the truth of what she was rapping about was that even though I was in a place I didn't want to be, and God was saying, hey, I just poured in these giant dreams into you, but they're not going to come true right now. I want you to know, Susie, that all of this is part of it. And sometimes we don't want to hear that.
Yeah.
You know, because I don't believe that God brings terrible things or sickness or awful things into our life. But I do believe that he takes advantage of what the enemy meant for harm and says, hey, let me show up here in the midst of this. Let me do some good in the midst of this. And not only that, I'm going to use this and weave it in to the dream so that she's even stronger. And that was basically the rap. I wish I had her on here so that she could do the rap for us. But it was so helpful for me.
Yeah. So what's going to help us in our seasons of not right now?
I need you to rap for me, Jennifer.
Look at what? My word. Wow. You're welcome, everybody. Super good at that.
Sorry. I'm losing it. Yes, go ahead.
That's all right. Well, I think one thing which actually relates to this is I was going to say giving ourselves permission to feel all the emotions that come with waiting, whether it's giggles or it's anger or it's grief or it's unexpected joy in the middle of a hard place.
Yeah.
I think we can narrow ourselves down and say, okay, I'm not allowed to feel whatever it is in this season. And the reality is, I think we need all those emotions to process the waiting places.
Yeah, I agree.
I had this moment with the Lord when I was telling you about the season of working for an entire year where I was just praying. And it was like, I felt him saying, if I order every single step that you take, don't you think that I'm ordering your waiting season? And I was like, okay, point taken and received, you know, because that was so important for me at that season, to wait, to be still, to do what I could and not press myself even harder. And so knowing that God was taking care of things behind the scenes, even when I wasn't feeling it. So for me, what helps me with dealing with my waiting seasons is to know that what I'm facing is temporary. What I'm feeling is temporary. And though I can't see it in the moment, that good things are going to happen from it.
Yeah, I think what helps too is to receive the love that people are trying to offer to you in that waiting season, because they are. It may be a person, it may be even a stranger, you know, or maybe it's God that's just trying to be truly kind to you in this waiting season. Receive that, whatever that looks like. I'm a good receiver from God. I really am. And I'm learning how to be a good receiver from people. Because part of the waiting season struggle is that you want to be doing for others and hear other people are doing from you. And, you know, people are having to fold my underwear right now. I don't like that. I don't. And yet, because it's vulnerable. Mm-hmm. It is. Number one, like, man, I should have bought some new underwear before all this happened. But it's okay to say, this is really hard for me. This feels very vulnerable. But man, look at that. There's my sister over there, and she's got a load of laundry, and she's folding it straight out of the dryer because you can't right now. Wow, I'm getting teary over this because it's hard.
Yeah,
it's hard. It's hard to receive that when you want to do. And yet at the same time, the Lord is showing you, this is what my people can do. We see such negative things about humanity in the world, and yet in crisis, we get to see the good of people wrapping around you. And to be able to receive that and say, thank you. I think the Lord does something good in that not right now season as you receive what others are trying to give you.
Yeah, so good.
And I think that is what we can do for them.
Yeah.
Is let them give. Because I know your daughter walked through something similar.
Yes.
And you did a lot of giving for her. And I imagine that giving was healing. Like for you, if you had not been able to do anything for her, it would have been much harder.
Yeah.
And so the people who love us need to do something.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. And so being able to say, okay, this feels like receiving, but I'm actually doing something for them by letting them be part of what I'm walking through.
Yeah, I remember at one point, one of the hardest things, and it's the same for me, is that you don't get to wash your hair for like 3 weeks. You don't get to shower until you get all the drains out. And so I remembered that with her, just leaning her head back and washing her hair so that she could remain dry from the neck down. Have her hair clean, you know, because you use dry shampoo for at some point, your head becomes a cotton ball. And was able to wash her hair. Now, I was terrible at fixing it. Like, it took forever. I ended up doing kind of a side ponytail thing. It was awful. But then my friend Jordan, who is a hairdresser, I told her, I said, I washed her hair. And it was clean, which is good, but this side ponytail is awful. And Jordan came over with all of her tools and she fixed her hair and it was lovely. Mm. And I just remember thinking, man, what a beautiful gesture that she just gave my daughter.
Yeah.
So Jordan, if you're listening, I'm tired of dry shampoo.
Please wash your hair.
I love you.
So like you were saying, I think we all take turns. You know, we tend to think of it like all giving or all receiving. But I think throughout life, we all take turns. Yeah. Sometimes we're the receiver, sometimes we're the giver. And by the end of life, it usually kind of all evens out.
It really
does. You know, so even that's helped me before when I was in seasons when I needed to receive. I just saying, okay, it's just my turn.
Yeah.
It's just my turn. Yeah. And when I'm stronger, it will not be my turn and it will be someone else's turn. And I will be in a place where I can do what someone did for me.
Yeah.
So I think that's the beautiful thing about being part of the body of Christ is we get to take turns.
We do.
So on a practical level, when we think about making it through waiting seasons and not just kind of surviving them, but even managing to thrive a bit in them. What are some practical things that we can do?
Yeah, I'm making note right now of the things that completely make a difference for me. And those things are things that going forward, as I move into my doing phase, my right now phase, that I'm going to carry in with me, having walked through them. So make note, if you're in a waiting season, of the things that people are doing or even that you are learning that you can come alongside somebody else in the future and make their waiting season a little easier.
Yeah, I think that's good. Well, I was just thinking for me personally, when I'm in that waiting season, that not right now, it's very isolating and lonely.
It is.
And it's easy for me to shrink back and hide, but just to invite people to come alongside me to say what I'm going through, say that to my friends and be open and honest with that and to not hide out would be a really huge step for me and probably for other people as well.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think also asking, what do I have space for right now that I might not ever again? You know, like when Mark and I were going through infertility, we'd go out to dinner and be like, okay, we wish our story looked different, but we get to go out to eat anytime we want. Or take a nap on a Saturday afternoon anytime we want. Or, you know, so saying, is there something that I really want to do that I tell myself someday if I have time, I will fill in the blank, like read all these books or watch all these movies or, you know, have one-on-one conversations with these people that once this season is past, I'm probably going to not be able to do those things.
Yeah. Can I tell you what I'm doing right now that I've said I was going to do for 20 years now? I am writing my novel.
Yay.
Yeah. Now, my fingertips are down low. I can't move my elbows and it's slow typing, slow going, but it's going.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm choosing to do right now.
Yeah. And I never want to say that lightly or make it seem like that makes it not hurt to be in those seasons, but that has been helpful for me.
Yeah.
So next week, we're going to just be doing all confession questions. It's going to be super fun.
All right. So listen, we want to hang out with you. So come to the More Than Small Talk Facebook group. Sometimes we pop in with videos. We ask goofy questions. Sometimes we go deep. The whole idea of this is for us to connect as a community and continue to grow and connect together. And we would love to see you there.
So if you're in a waiting season today, know that God is there with you. And we are, even from afar, we are with you too. We still picture you in that fourth chair. And wherever you are going next, we are excited to go there with you.
And that's it for today's episode. Thanks for going deeper, becoming freer, and connecting with us. More Than Small Talk is a part of the KLRC Podcast Network and is produced by Kara Culver. Show notes and resources are available on the More Than Small Talk page on klrc.com. You can also join us in our Facebook group. Subscribe to More Than Small Talk on your favorite app so you won't ever miss an episode.